Welcome to another brand new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about bottle shops and the pints and people you find therein. I'm Jeff Martin, and with me as always is a man who's trying to get himself designated as patient zero of the podcast, Matt Prince. Matt, how you feeling?
I am better. I am just about done my quarantine. For our listeners, my wife, my son, and I all contracted the coronavirus. We have no idea where. You know, we've been really careful. But this just goes to show you that no matter how careful you are, you could still get it. And tomorrow will be the last day of our quarantine, which, thank goodness, because if you thought life was boring in regular pandemic living, when they take away your ability to go to the grocery store or pick up takeout, it gets bad.
how did you guys feel throughout the thing? What was your experience with it?
It started off pretty bad. I mean, it started off with I had the high fever and I had the chills and the body aching, which meant I couldn't sleep, which sucked. And, you know, my fever broke after a few days, but then it came back. It was like, it just wouldn't quit. The one thing that I did at one point lose my sense of smell. And to be honest, smelling my beer right now, it's not all the way back. I actually keep on thinking I'm smelling the same one thing, which is very interesting. So it's coming back, but it's not as strong. And then everything smells like split pea soup, which is very bizarre.
Do you have a strong beer that you're drinking, something with a lot of character that helps cut through this?
Yeah. This is an Imperial style called King of the Deep from Levante. Cinnamon, vanilla, coffee, that kind of thing. It's really good. I don't drink stouts often, but when I do, I want it to be something really good. And this is really good. What are you drinking, Jeff?
I am drinking Trendler Alt from Tired Hands. As we've said before, of the two of us, I'm the Tired Hands hater. Though, I mean, the bar is pretty high to climb under to become a Tired Hands hater when you're the Tired Hands fan. But as I've said before, the Trendler series is terrific. And this alt is very good. It's nice and malty. It's a nice fall beer, even though we're creeping ever closer into winter.
Yeah, that is a really good beer. And you know, Jeff, I'm kind of happy that you're drinking the beer you're drinking today, because I have an issue. Aside from recovering from coronavirus, I have another issue that I kind of wanted to pick your brain about and see how you felt about it. So I've really missed going to my local bottle shop the last couple of weeks. I a lot of times will go in there and just window shop, or I'll pick up a couple cans of something fresh. I'll see that something's there, and I get excited about it. But one thing I do not miss, and one thing that had been bothering me leading up to coronavirus, was the fact that like everything that's fresh is a hazy IPA. I remember when you couldn't get a hazy IPA at the bottle shop. I remember the first hazy IPA I got in a bottle shop was from Platform Brewing in Ohio. They did like a New England or a hazy IPA series, and they distributed. And I remember you couldn't get anything else. Like I would always ask, you know, what's hazy, what's juicy, like, and they'd be like, nothing, because you had to go to breweries to get them. But now everything that comes in, I feel like, is a hazy IPA. And then you stare at this wall of just new, fresh hazy IPAs. But like, I'm sick of it. I want to see some more diversity in beer. I want to see more styles getting some love. And it makes it hard to get fresh beer because everything that's fresh is hazy.
Well, Matt, I think you are climbing onto the train a few cars behind me. Because I've felt this way for a while, and I've made that known on the podcast, is that I like hazy beer. I like the New England style beer, but it's certainly not my preferred style. I do like to get more diversity, and it's becoming harder and harder in that first couple cases at the store to find something that's not. And I thought, Matt, when you brought this topic up to me the other day in a text message, I thought maybe we could get an expert on. And the expert is the person who certainly introduced me to hazy IPAs, and I think introduced you to a lot of them, because he was once our connection at Pinocchio's. It's our friend Francis Dalator. Francis, welcome to Take a Shelfie.
What's up, gents? I'm happy to be here. Long time listener, first time caller. pretty pumped to finally be on an episode after, kind of being around when this kind of whole thing became the brainchild became an actual thing. So I'm pretty pumped.
Well, Francis, I mean, you used to live down here with us. You used to live down here in the Philadelphia area, and you worked at the bottle shop. And, you know, I think, Jeff, you inaccurately attributed your first Heady Topper to me. It was really Francis.
Well, you're the one who handed it to me. But
yeah, I might have physically handed it, gone up on stage during your improv show and handed it to you. But we only got that beer because of Francis. But
and I only got that beer because of Tim from Pinocchio's and how generous he is with his beer. I wasn't even working at Pinocchio's yet at that point. It just happened to actually be the first time I even drank there. After going in a few times to grab six packs, I hung around for a actual draft and got the tap talking. Mentioned I had a buddy getting married soon, and we were trying to figure out a way to get both of our first Heady as a wedding gift. And lo and behold, Tim had some, and he handed me a couple as a I think the quote was, tell your friends congratulations and don't get married.
now, Francis, you since going up to the Boston area, you moved up to the Boston area. You have lamented the fact that it's really hard for you to find beers that are not hazy, especially IPAs that aren't hazy. You are always jealous when we're drinking something clear from, Half Acre. You always lament the fact that you can't get Half Acre. And, Headhunter from Fatheads, is one of your favorites. Sunshine Daydreams, one of your favorites. So, you probably are feeling the pain that we're now feeling. Talk to us about, what is it like not being able to find non-hazy beers?
So I've been feeling this pain for a while. I moved up to Mass about almost 3 years ago. I moved up to work in beer. Ironically, I took a job at a brewery in the South Shore of Massachusetts called Stellwagen, and then it ended up going to what may be the only non-hazy brewery in all of the state and working for them, which is Harpoon. And it's rough. I mean, for the people that at home that don't understand how distribution works, just because you get beer A doesn't mean, five states away also gets beer A. Everybody gets different beer sent to their states. Some breweries don't distribute to certain states. They're not, there's a bunch of legal loopholes that we don't need to get into because they're boring. I have not been able to get my hands on what is my favorite style, which is a Midwest style IPA, which is very piney and resiny and dank and tons of hops. Not so much the citrus haze bombs that, infest my waters up here.
I want to quickly talk about the distinction between hazy, between New England, and between unfiltered, because there's a Venn diagram where those do cross, and there are some beers right at the middle of that Venn diagram. But I quickly want to run through the BJCP description of a New England IPA, which was added as a category in 2018. It's style 21B specialty IPA New England IPA. It's an American IPA with intense fruit flavors and aromas, a soft body, a smooth mouth feel, and often opaque with substantial haze. Less perceived bitterness than traditional IPAs, but always massively hop forward. This emphasis on late hopping, especially dry hopping, with hops with tropical fruit qualities, lends the specific juicy character for which the style is known. And so it says it's often hazy, but is not always hazy. So Francis, when you say that you are a little fatigued of hazy beer, are you talking the look of the beer, or are you talking New England style?
I'm definitely talking more of a New England style. Because I mean, hazy has such a vague term, I think. If you really wanted to get into it, I mean, a stout, you can't see through it. You could call that hazy. It's it's more of a characteristic of a beer. And I think all three of us are a little bit more leaning towards that. We're a little bit overwhelmed and over the style in itself. And a break is necessary from time to time with the straight up citrus juice bombs that we get, you know, fed from every brewery. And I will be the first to admit that where I live with the amazing breweries around me, that this is a very real first world problem. Complaining about having all this deliciously amazing New England IPAs to drink. Some people are going to be like, oh, you live, you, I live 20 minutes from Trillium. I live, you know, 10 minutes from Vitamin C. I live an hour from Treehouse. So everyone's gonna be like, shut up, Francis. But it's just one of those things that when you can't get a certain thing, the thing that you have the most of gets old somewhat fast.
It's interesting because even 3 years ago when you moved up, you know, I was extraordinarily jealous that, you know, you were even closer to Alchemist, even though you're not very close, but you're closer than we were to Alchemist. And so getting your hands on Heady Topper and Focal Banger at the time was far easier than it was for us. But now, I mean, Matt and I have said before, we live in the mecca of beer distribution. Like, everything comes to us, and so we can get those. But we also get, you were talking about distribution, we also get the things from the Midwest, the things from the West, and we can get things that aren't New England style. But they, for some reason, don't make their way up to the major metropolitan area of Boston.
Distribution is a weird thing. Like we talked about it just this past week when you guys, we all happened to get an influx of Bissell Brothers. Substance showed up in your market, actually showed up in mine. But Philly isn't a great situation. They get the best of every world. They are, like you guys call it, the mecca of distribution. It's amazing. Whereas up here, just because I'm closer to Alchemist, you would think I see it more, but that's actually not the case at all. It actually gets sent away from the brewery more often than not. If you live in Vermont, I've been to the areas of Vermont, as soon as you cross that Vermont border, Heady and Focal are everywhere. They're in every restaurant, every bar, every bottle shop. You can literally throw a stone and hit an Alchemist beer in Vermont. But outside of the state, it is much more difficult. And it's getting easier in the more hard-to-reach markets for Alchemist. They're not, you know, they're not jumping at the gun to distribute in Massachusetts because they know people are going to drive to Vermont for their beer.
Now, Francis, I'd imagine it's really hard to have hazy fatigue when you have breweries like Trillium and Vitamin C so close, because you want to enjoy those beers. They're world-class breweries, and especially we've talked about Vitamin C. They do a lot of collaborations, so you might be able to get, you know, a little something from a brewery you might have never tried before that Vitamin C is collaborating with. Does it really, I guess what I'm trying to ask is it difficult for you to kind of reconcile this fatigue because there are so many great hazy IPAs around that you actually do want to drink?
Yeah, like I said, it's a first world problem, like, for sure. It's the age old saying, beggars can't be choosers. Well, in this sense, the chooser is being a beggar. I have an abundance of phenomenal beers and no lack of amazing breweries to go to. And I would be, you know, straight up Pinocchio lying if I said I didn't go to Vitamin C just last week or the week before and grab some New England's. I still enjoy New England styles. I think the thing that we're all kind of like trying to like throw darts at is that it's not that we don't like them anymore or that we don't enjoy them anymore. It's just that they're a dime a dozen now. And the great ones are still great. But the, you know, that meh is just as prevalent as the great ones, if not more so now. And it's nice to have a beer that is just beautifully brewed, like in the science and the craft of it, not just to sell it because it has Doubles Your IHOP attached to it, or it's a hazy IPA, which I worked in sales at four breweries. Those words are going to sell. If you put DIPA on anything or New England IPA on anything, it's going to sell way more than anything else. And I'm drinking a Pilsner right now, and it's just nice.
I'd even say that, you know, the great ones are still great. And you said the meh category is humongous, but even between the great and the meh, there's a mountain of good and very good that you can get anytime. And so the New England, the hazy, it's, it's not as hard to come by anymore. And so we talked a long time ago about whether or not rarity breeds fondness. And because they're not rare anymore, it doesn't go all the way to the other way where familiarity breeds contempt. Like we, like you said, we don't hate them, but you know, they're just around and we can get them anytime.
Well, it's funny that you say that, Jeff, because I was thinking about you, Francis, in terms of this episode, and I was thinking about the fact that you've been gone for two and a half, 3 years. And the way that things have changed down here since then in terms of being able to get fresh, hazy IPAs. I mean, we've seen breweries like New Trail become very popular in Pennsylvania since you left. We've seen a brewery like Tonewood really take off South Jersey since you've left. We've seen breweries like Imprint and Hitchhiker and La Cabra all canning more and distributing more. Since you've gone anywhere, you set your feet down, you have great breweries locally that are brewing hazy IPAs. You know, Jeff, you were reviewing for us a New Trail beer the other day, and you were saying that, you know, you were comparing it, not saying it was as good as, but comparing it to Sap from Treehouse. And, you know, you're not the first person who has compared a local IPA to Treehouse. You know, it's not as essential that you drive somewhere to get these IPAs now they're so readily available that you can't avoid them. And like you said, Francis, they sell. Like that is what people want. The market has demand and the consumer wants hazy IPAs, so that's why we are getting this issue. That's why we're in this predicament, is because while we might have fatigue, it sounds like others don't.
Quickly, I'm not an expert taster by any means, nor am I an expert of Treehouse by any means, but I do think that I'm pretty familiar with the taste profile of Sap. It is my favorite Treehouse beer, and I've had a decent amount of it. And you know what, Matt? I'm going to say it's as good as Sap. It's Broken Heels by New Trail. It's a terrific beer. And I think that's sort of what I was getting at with the very large mountain of very good beers. You know, Treehouse is obviously still legendary, but you know, I think the New Trail falls very much in that category.
I've been, like, I wouldn't say pleasantly surprised, but not surprised at all, if that makes sense. I have had, you know, conversations up here with multiple people that work in the industry about how amazing the Philadelphia beer scene has become just in the last 10 years. And, you know, I left my original career and got broke into craft beer in the Philadelphia area, learned a lot about craft beer at Pinocchio's Beer Garden and from Alex and Tim, both of which you've had on your show, before I made my move up here to try to make a life of it. And everyone's so impressed with it. The breweries there just keep getting better and better. It makes me super happy because I am a homer through and through. You guys both know that I have a very soft spot in my heart for, you know, Pinocchio's in general, but I'm really good friends with the people at Levante, very good friends with the Sterling Pig crew. And my all-time favorite brewery in Pennsylvania is Hidden River, hands down. And it makes me, you know, super happy to see these guys exceeding. You guys have actually been able to introduce me to new breweries, which was not the thing before I left, because, you know, New Trail was not around when I lived there. Imprint was barely a thought. So I've gotten to drink a lot of beers when I've been able to come back and visit, you know, pre-COVID times, to actually, you guys, you know, hook me up with four packs and cans of stuff that I didn't know existed in Pennsylvania before I actually left. So,
Francis, you just briefly, you say that you're a big time homer, but in about an hour and a half, what are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be watching my god awful Dallas Cowboys. unfortunately, get their beat by the COVID birds that are the Ravens. So
I just wanted to you know, set that there. But I mean,
everything but the Eagles, right? I'm a giant every other Philly sports fan. It is my one glaring personality trait, and by one I mean the biggest one.
Is there anything more Philadelphia than having a group of friends where one of them's a Cowboys fan?
It's a very Philadelphia thing. Also, shout out to the Eagles for actually in my opinion, doing the right thing and putting Jalen Hurts in. Just FYI.
Yeah. This is not. This is not a sports talk podcast.
We'll see what happens. But we'll see what happens. But
you know, Francis, I'm glad you mentioned. I think you're the one who mentioned Sterling Pig. You know, friends of the Sterling Pig. You know, we're talking about hazy IPAs, and we're talking about what you have to do to continue to stay in business, and you know. They, for the longest while, you know, they have their Oinka, which is their New England IPA, which is, yeah, we're going to air quote that because it's not really hazy. It doesn't really fit the style, but they just decided that they're going to do a monthly release, and it's their Fresh AF.
I saw that release on social media, and I loved it. I actually mentioned something to Jackie about it. Yeah, Jackie's my girlfriend for the listeners, but I was just like, I love this. This is good marketing.
Yeah.
Just the beer's name, the month of the beer, Fresh AF every month. I love that.
But so far, the early reviews, I know we're only like 50 reviews in or so on Untappd, but it's like a 4.14, which is, you know, for them, that's like really high for their IPAs. It's just another brewery that, you know, I'm not going to condemn them for making this. I'm going to applaud them because they understand the market and they're doing something fresh and they're doing something quality. And it's so hard because we are fatigued, but it's not because the market is being saturated with bad New England IPAs. It's because there are so many good New England IPAs and they're distributed to us. And we, you know, I could go into Pinocchio's tomorrow and I could find Tired Hands, Grimm, probably some Equilibrium, Aslan, maybe some Bissell leftover. You know, it's insane that we even see these breweries in our bottle shop. But it's all good. It's just, I would love to go in and see 10 Pilsners that are fresh.
What I will say about the Sterling Pig beer, though, Matt, is that when they first put out the announcement on social media, there was a lot of, hey, make sure you jump on this right away because it's going to go fast. Because that's what you assume is going to happen with these New England IPAs. And then they posted it today and said, hey, order it for delivery. And so... You know, the market still demands them, but I don't think it demands them as much hype. Matt, you said you want 10 different kinds of Pilsners to get in. So I want to actually use that comment to transition with Francis into, Francis, what are the beers, the styles, and if you have any specific named breweries that you can't get anymore that you really, really wish would make their way up to New England because you're so fatigued with haze that you want something different.
So, Matt is, we do this on Zoom, by the way, and Matt is rubbing a threes Pilsner in my face right now, which is phenomenal, which you guys have heard Jeff mention a bazillion times because I think it's his, if it's not his top, it's in his top three probably. Like I mentioned earlier, I love Midwest style IPAs. For those of you that are curious what those are, basically like the Half Acres of the world. And now Half Acre can be slightly murky, but it is not a hazy IPA by any stretch of the imagination, especially their kind of like prototypical ones. I don't know if they released any actual hazy ones recently, because again, everyone is releasing hazy IPAs because they have to. But I miss the dank resin piney beers. Matt mentioned earlier Headhunter from Fatheads Brewery, which is my all-time go-to drinkable IPA. I can crush their Sunshine Daydream as well, which is their session IPA, quote unquote. It's basically a pale ale. and it's phenomenal. And it was my summer beer for a really long time. I am with you, Jeff, as far as the Tired Hands Hating Club. You and I are co-founders, but I do respect the other styles of IPA, of the other styles of beer that they do very, very well. Their Pilsners are great. Their Saisons are top notch. So I do miss living 10 minutes from Tired Hands, like we all do basically right now. I'm not their biggest milkshake guy, but that's because
it's really just the thing. Yeah, it's really just the milkshake IPA is stupid.
Yeah, I don't really love, don't get me wrong, Alien Church, phenomenal beer. I'll give them love for that. But I miss getting access to the really good Pilsners, the really good sessionable IPAs, because session IPAs aren't a thing up here, really. Like, a few breweries do them, or they'll do them every so often. But you don't get the crushers like you do down there. You don't get the Sterling Pigs of the world that do the really nice shoats, and things like that. You don't. I was drinking a more Umlaut from Stellwagen Brewery, which is a prototypical German style Pilsner, which is a phenomenal Pilsner hopped with noble hops, which is the way a Pilsner should be done. And it's great. It's crisp, clear, clean, delicious, and crushing it. I finished that while we were talking early on. And now I just opened a sour because I also really love sours. Ironically, I don't see Cascade up here very often, which is a little surprising to me. They're a phenomenal sour brewery, but like they just don't get distributed up here for some reason. I mean, they're not cheap, but I don't see any of their bottles sitting on shelves. Now, I can't say that they don't be distributed. Maybe they just don't get bought because we don't have the boutique bottle shops in abundance as Pennsylvania does. It's much more liquor stores and things along those lines. But I just cracked a peanut butter and jelly sour from two local breweries that are so Widowmaker, which is kind of like our almost the flagship of craft beer in the south of Boston. They're fairly large, but not so large that they're not still craft beer. And then Second Wind, which is a really small brewery in Plymouth.
Tell me about the bottle shop, quote unquote, culture in Boston. The packy culture. Like, it do you get your beers at a shop, or are you sort of just flying around to the different breweries and picking things up?
So it depends on what you're really looking for. In the city, packies are king, but they're not very craft focused. You know, when I worked for Harpoon, I worked in the city. So my territory as a sales rep was the south of Boston. And they are very, you know, macro, micro, you know, not very niche craft, right? Like they're going to bring in the guys that they know are going to sell and are not going to break their bank to be brought in. If you want the good craft stuff, you go to a brewery. There are a couple small, quote unquote, bottle shops, but they're not mix and match places like Pinocchio's or a lot of these places that sell single, you know, single style bottles, single style cans. It's a lot of four packs only. The liquor stores tend to have the best selection, but you just have to check on the freshness. And I'm blessed that I live very close to a place called Curtis, Curtis Liquors in Weymouth, and they actually let you break apart any four pack you want to make your own four pack. And the buyer there is really on point with his buying and making sure things are fresh, and he knows his stuff. So that's kind of become my home away from home, aka where I empty my wallet. but it's nice to be able to still have that option, so I don't have to bounce around to breweries, which I still do. And pre-COVID, there are breweries that actually let you make your own four pack. Not anymore. But like Trillium, you can actually make your own four pack there for whatever beers they have in cans. Stellwagen was the same way. And then there's a couple other ones that they don't, you know, they're charging $18 a four pack. So it's not the end of the world. And if you know what you're getting is delicious, it's, you know, you don't mind throwing $18 at them.
Trillium even lets you buy like just odd numbers of beers. I was there, was it 2 years ago, Francis, when I came up to visit you for the concert?
Yeah, a year and a half, 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, it was February, and it was cool because I went to the location right there, like sort of like in the waterfront ish area, I guess. And like I could just buy like five cans of Pilsner and seven cans of something and two cans of something else. That was really cool.
They just don't tell you that you can do that.
Yeah.
they're really cool, really awesome, and they'll let you mix and match your own four packs. They just don't advertise it because they don't really want to, which is fair.
You know, as we've been talking, it really makes me think, like, I know we all are feeling the haze fatigue, and this is a good time of year to feel that fatigue because it's winter or just about winter, and there are stouts everywhere, and you know, places are releasing barley wines or beer to guards. I know a brewery, ours, just released a beer to guard, which is awesome. you know, we have a local brewery, Attic, that just released, or that has a brown ale that has won awards, which is really exciting. And they've been releasing that, and we had Todd on in season one. So we're really lucky, Jeff, where we live, because we have breweries like Tired Hands, like Forest of Maine, that are constantly making saisons. So in terms of our own struggle with fatigue, Francis, unfortunately for you, the name of the game up in New England is the hazy IPAs. But I will say that us talking about this and hearing, you know, the breweries we're close to and what we've been drinking, I mean, we definitely are lucky. Like we live in some of the best beer areas in the world. I mean, which is really, really, really cool. You know, this problem that we have. And I'm sure some of our listeners will kind of nod their head along while they're listening to this. But I mean, I think we understand that the hazy IPAs are not going anywhere. And it's really on the drinker to seek out those other beers. Tell your bottle shops that you want these other beers. Tell your breweries that you want to see them brew other styles. Most of the time, from what I've gathered, bottle shops will listen. If you want them to order something, they'll get it for you. Breweries and brewers who want to actually appeal to their consumer will listen when you say, hey man, that saison you brewed is fantastic. You should really brew more. That hearing that from a drinker, from a patron, from, you know, that's going to make them want to brew those other styles more. So I think really where, if we're having this issue and if other drinkers are finding themselves with hazy fatigue, it's kind of on us to tell our local brewers, you know, we want other stuff. We want to explore other styles.
And don't just do it with your voice, do it with your wallet as well.
Yeah.
Take a chance on one of those different styles, even if you didn't ask for it, because that will tell the bottle shop that it's worth stocking them. Francis, any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I think you guys hit all the nails on the head. Matt, I agree wholeheartedly with your last statement. Coming from someone that has been in the distribution world and understands buying and selling, he's not wrong. If people want the styles, ask, and they will be brought in, because if you're going to spend your money on those styles, the people that have the ability to bring them in will bring them in for you. And if they can't, they will tell you where to find them, because there is no better community than the craft beer community. And I wholeheartedly believe that.
Well, Francis, just let us know the next time that you're going to come down. You know, we're however many weeks, months away from a vaccine, so this thing's got to be over soon. And we will start stockpiling non-hazy beers for you to drink. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure.
You can subscribe to Take a Shelfie wherever you get fine podcasts. While you're there, please leave a 5-star review and write something nice about us. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter at ShelfiePod and at Facebook.com/ShelfiePod. You can also visit us on the internet at ShelfiePod.com, as if all those other things were at the internet. But you can visit us on the internet at ShelfiePod.com. That's where we post full episodes. And we leave the comment section open, and we really love to hear what you listeners have to say. Matt is soon coming out of quarantine, which means we can start exchanging some beers again soon, and we have some interesting episodes coming up for you. Until those happen, and until next time, I'm Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.